Thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of the Boundless Buff Podcast. On this episode, I had on Junior Carson Becker, and Carson is an extremely talented photographer, does a lot of work with video as well, and Carson came on and discussed a lot of the current projects he's been working on. He's the team photographer for the CU men's basketball team. He was also the director for an Elijah McClain tribute video, which he talked about, and you know how emotional and incredible that project was. He also owns his own company called Big Air Imagery. They do a lot of drone work for real estate. Carson's doing a lot of different stuff, and I'm not going to cover everything in the intro, but he's a busy guy, an ambitious guy, and he's got a lot of passion for what he does. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy. Carson Becker coming up next. Carson Becker is here, and we're recording this on a Friday, a little after 9. It's good to have you on, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm excited. Should be super fun, something different.
I want to get to all the current stuff you're doing a little bit later, but talk about where this love for taking pictures and video and capturing things originated from, and at what age did this become a passion for you?
Yeah, so I originally started getting into video my sophomore year of high school. I was going to school in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And we had, looking back at it, it was pretty cringy, but we had some high school newscast that we had going. It was sort of like the cool thing. It would go on all the TVs in the morning. And my freshman year, I came in, I was like, I want to do that. And so originally I tried out to be an anchor on there, started out as an anchor on the morning school news. And then from there, started getting into the technical sides and wanted to learn that stuff. And started out, we had, it was called Proc, and it was on super like grungy extra room in the school where we had it all set up, and we had old broadcast cameras that the local news had like given to us, and it was really cool. We had the school news going, and then from there got my first camera my sophomore year of high school. Just started like learning the basics, getting on YouTube and getting into all of that stuff, and then start on video, went to photo, and yeah, just have kept on pushing myself and hold myself to a really high standard for all of that, and want to be like the best storyteller as possible. And yeah, just have kept on pushing, and just like little thing, like little growth over like a long time has like ended where I am. And still today, every single day, get up and always push myself to shoot something new, shoot something different. And basketball was definitely one of those big breakout opportunities. And yeah, just a whole lot of like little steps ended up where we were. Yeah.
And that's where I first found out about you was, last year during basketball season, I was working as the student manager and you were the team photographer. Tell everybody a little bit about how you got that position and, what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So to fill everyone in on how Adam and I first met, Adam, you were a manager for the team. And for like whenever the guys would leave for games and stuff, everyone would load out, and Adam was loading out some stuff, and he stood in for me, and we got some shots of you loading onto the plane. Yeah. pretty cool stuff. But yeah, that opportunity, sort of like a crazy, I mean, I guess it's the way like life goes, but I had a friend, and actually one of my roommates now, his name's Zach McGill, and we had a class together. He knew my passion for photography. Like it's sort of hard to get me to shut up about this type of stuff. Like I'm super passionate about it. And he had a class with Deshaun Shorts from the basketball team, and they just got talking about photography and like some really awesome tour photographers, concert photographers. And at the time, a lot of my work was live music, and rest in peace to that right now during the pandemic. But
yeah,
Zach was like, oh, I actually know a local concert photographer. He does some really cool work. And they got talking about that. And Zach was like, it would be really cool if I'll like hit Carson up, see if he'd be interested in doing a little something, and mentioned my name over to Deshaun. Deshaun was like, yeah, let's do it. And so it was actually a little bit less than a year ago. It was mid-December, the first shoot Deshaun and I did. And we shot in the event center. We blacked it out completely, so all lights off, and mm-hmm. we just shot with a flash on my camera. It was pretty cool.
There's that one really iconic photo of him. I think he's looking in front of the garage area, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I actually, typically right now my walls all of the pictures I typically have like prints up there, mm-hmm. but back in my apartment in Boulder, I have that print. Like that one shot was the one I remember right after that shoot. We just had Travis Scott on and we were all like having a good time just jamming to music and just getting the shots. And I was looking at the back of the screen on the camera and I was like, oh yeah, this is it. Like mm-hmm. this is it. And after that, we went to the locker room and we were just clicking through the shots. And like everyone was freaking out. And there was one point where Deshaun got up and just like clapped his hands, walked out. And I was like, yeah. And I was just thought, and then he came back. He's like, that's the shot. And
yeah,
that's how we started. And right before going into my last final of that fall semester last year, I got a DM from the official CU men's basketball account. It was like, hey, like we saw your shots. Would you ever have interest in shooting basketball? And I was like, I remember at the time I didn't respond before the final, and I just, that gave me so much confidence going into it, totally killed the final. Uh-huh. And that's how it started. And yeah, it's been crazy time ever since. Just never had shot sports before that. And it's one of those things where just saying yes to different things has always paid off. Like I've always put a lot of work into what I do. But then taking those opportunities when they come, at the time it was pretty hectic, but it always like pays off. Just you get more efficient with your work. And yeah, that's the story of the first shoot.
Would you say that going from, you said you didn't have much experience shooting sports, going from music to sports, did that improve your skills a lot and make you more versatile, would you say?
Yeah, I definitely would say that going to sports was a totally different game in itself. I'd say for any photographers out there initially getting into it, shooting live music is one of those it's a very challenging shooting situation. You have the strobes going on the performer, you have different white balances of lighting, like all of this stuff. So going in and shooting live music gives you a crash course of everything. So coming in and shooting sports, I was very well versed and comfortable with my current camera. And there definitely was a learning curve. But I definitely would say starting out in live music definitely gave me a good position coming in and shooting basketball. I had sort of a good stylistic representation of what I wanted my work to look like. And I'd say coming in, my first game was the Oregon game. So that was definitely a good one to start off mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oregon has still never won in Boulder in basketball. So that's a good tidbit
there.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Tell everyone a little bit about your ongoing negotiations, so to speak, with the Dallas Mavericks about the TV licensing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I don't know. I'll give as much of information as I can right now.
Right, yeah.
But after, I'm hoping most of you guys have heard that our guy Tyler Bay got drafted by the Dallas Mavericks. Congrats to him. Crazy. Like the Dallas Mavericks. That's insane.
Yeah.
But when he got drafted, I was like, oh, I'm just going to look up on LinkedIn, see if I can track down who the Dallas Mavericks social media manager is, found her name, and just sent her a DM on Instagram. And I was like, okay, I was a photographer for the CU basketball team last season. Have some awesome shots of Tyler. If you'd be interested in any of them, let me know. And it was one of those messages. I was went in confident, but also being like, I know this is shooting in the dark, probably not going to hear anything back. And the next morning she sent a message and was like, thank you so much for reaching out. We're actually in the need of some shots of Tyler. And I sent her over a watermarked version. So anyone that's not familiar with watermark, but most people I feel like are mm-hmm. from getting the shots back from their photographer and being like, wow, their name's like plastered right on my face. But sent her over the watermark shots. She let me know which ones they were thinking. And yeah, still working with their content plan for pushing out stuff on Tyler. But yeah, definitely crazy. Would be pretty sweet to see my work pushed out on such a big platform.
So is the dream to become the official photographer for Luka Doncic? Is that the goal?
I mean, I just feel like whatever ends up pushing me as a photographer, I always like a challenge, but yeah.
Talk to T-Bay. He can get you an in.
yeah, for real. yeah.
Talk about big air imagery and what that's all about.
Yeah. So when I first moved to Colorado a little over 2 years ago, photography and video was definitely a passion of mine. Had never made any money off of my work, but was working three jobs in retail. Was working at Target, was working at American Eagle, and waiting tables. Just all of it, like, funding my passion for photography. Yeah,
wow.
I'm crazy. Yeah, I like keeping my schedule busy, and that holds true up until today. But yeah, I was working those three jobs, trying to make the photography side hustle work, and was working in electronics one day at Target. And I was like, I've always wanted a drone. I'm getting a drone today. And that night went home and was researching all the ways I could make money off of buying a drone. And one of the first things I came across was real estate. And I was like, oh, I've always enjoyed watching HGTV. So that was like where I started off. And so from there, I started doing a lot of aerial photography and just cold calling. I literally was going down the list of realtors from Zillow and giving everyone a call. I was like, hey, like, I'm getting started. This is what I do. Would you be willing to give me a shot? And like showing them some of my other work. And finally, I still remember her name. Her name was Karen Jensen, the first realtor that gave me a shot. And from there, got some photos to start sending out to other realtors. And from there, everything just started snowballing. And yeah, now do strictly video tours. And during the pandemic, that definitely was a big selling point for realtors and definitely could provide a lot of value, just since you couldn't do the open houses and all of that stuff. Having like a really quality video tour was key. And I always like having fun with it, making a little story-based intro to every video, just really sell people on picturing themselves moving to the home. But yeah, that's big air imagery in a nutshell.
Well, that makes good money. I'm pretty confident because I got you know, one of my best friends from home goes to Montana State, and some of his friends do a ton of really cool video stuff. They all dropped out of MSU their freshman year and just started doing film stuff, and they make a ton of money with the drones and doing stuff at Big Sky up there in Montana. So that's
pretty cool.
It's a really underrated side hustle. I feel like once you get the drone, it's like you could really make some money if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The real barrier of entry, it's called the Part 107 certification, and the FAA requires anyone making money off of their work. So that's one of the barriers of entry. But yeah, the drone stuff is pretty cool. Like, it's honestly, looking back and just seeing other productions, it's the quickest way to add production value to anything. Because like 10, 15 years ago, you were having like a crew of like 5 to 10 people like put up a helicopter with like a cinema camera to get some of this stuff. And now I have a drone. I fly the Mavic 2 Pro, and the sensor, the camera, like the image that comes off of it is beautiful. And the arms like all fold in. It literally fits in my camera bag when I show up to a shoot, like realtors or whatever the shoot may be, are like, oh, like, where's the drone? And I'll pop it out from my bag, have my drone, my camera, everything in like one backpack, which is pretty cool. Way technology's gone.
That's awesome. So, and yeah. Also, you know, I know you've been spending a lot of time, working with student government and, yeah, you know, doing photography with them. Tell everybody a little bit about that and that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So student government this last year, our tri-executives are Isaiah Chavis, Molly Fermel, and George Conway. And I connected again. Deshaun is like always the one. He's definitely a great supporter, always looking out for me. But he's friends with Isaiah Chavis, one of the tri-executives. And Isaiah was looking for a multimedia chair, someone to be in charge of all of the media creation for that. And Deshaun was like, Carson. And so we started that up at the beginning of the school year, and we've been working on a lot of really cool projects. The pandemic has definitely been a big challenge, definitely trying to push out guidance and helping students definitely balance that traditional college experience that they're looking for, but also knowing that we're in the middle of a pandemic and trying to do that as safe and the best way for the Boulder community, which has definitely been a lot of media created around that, and A Two-Way Street, which has been Isaiah Chavis's passion project. And honestly, like, really, he's definitely really passionate about the arts, and that really that he has a creative mind and he makes music. And one of the things he was wanting to do was uplift creatives when he came in. And so we have the idea for A Two-Way Street, which has been a talk show interviewing members as far as Chancellor DeStefano all the way to McKinley Wright. And we have an upcoming episode where we're talking about prison reform. So yeah, it's been really cool producing that show with my friend Stephen Tai. He's the Stratcom director there in student government. And yeah, just making stuff and having a good time with it. It's been cool.
Well, yeah, we had, I was lucky to have on Isaiah, you know, late this summer, and he's terrific. And I guess for you, how cool, you've touched on this a little bit, how cool is it to be working with these guys like Isaiah and Deshaun, mm-hmm. who, you know, have such bright futures and are, mm-hmm. You know, such cool guys. How cool has it been to kind of develop relationships with them and work with them and kind of bounce ideas off those guys?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's, I always look at things in the perspective of freshmen. Carson, coming into CU, I had all these dreams. I saw the guys shooting video on the sidelines for football, and I was like, if I could do that, like, that would be unreal. And looking back at all the opportunities that I've gotten to be a part of, it's been really crazy to think. Yeah, it's great. Deshaun is definitely, it's cool that I always respect people excelling in all these different crafts. Like Deshaun, he's totally like this total like stud at basketball, like totally kills it. And then also like he's out here producing, like making like this awesome, I'm not sure if you've been able to check out his recent music, but it's awesome. Like his stuff's really cool. And definitely he's always had a great appreciation for creatives. I remember from that first shoot, I wasn't sure. I've worked with other athletes in the past and not all of them have that same respect for the creative process. And I knew from the second I met him, that wasn't the case with him. He definitely had that respect and was all about the vision. And then Isaiah has been also like really great to work with. And yeah, like all of these things, it's pretty crazy to think coming into CU, I couldn't have imagined any of these opportunities, even though I had the vision for it. But to really know that I'm out here doing it, it's awesome. Love it.
So you're also, I also want to hear you talk about, you know, the Boulder Media House, and it's crazy because you have like just so many different things going on, the many, but yeah, go ahead and talk about that as well.
Yeah. So Boulder Media House is, for everyone that doesn't know, it's a production house started by all University of Colorado alumni, which that's the first thing that really caught my eye, being able to go and have an internship under, first of all, a production house doing honestly some of the best work that you can get here in the Denver Boulder area. But knowing that these guys are just like a couple years out of college, these are young guys, young students. Can't forget about Tori, can't just say guys. All of them are just really like pushing the barrier of what can be done, and knowing that they're literally just a couple years from where I am. And so I connected with Jeremy, one of the founders of Boulder Media House, and connected with him about a year and a half ago. He shoots a lot of live music stuff too, and had seen his work, really respect his work, and just reached out. And we went out and got coffee and just have stayed in contact. And over the summer, he reached out and was like, hey, would you be interested in coming on as an intern? And I was like, of course. And we've been doing a lot of cool stuff. The work has definitely been a lot different than, again, their work has had to shift with the pandemic as well. But we've had a socially distanced live stream, which was really cool. We just had the camera crew and the performers out there. And that was pretty cool having a full-blown set. They had like a full lighting kit, a full DJ set. It was pretty cool getting that chance to go back to live music in a sense, even though no crowd or anything. But getting to be a part of filming that, and yeah, definitely pushing the boundary of what can be done at a young age. And I think has definitely shown me that my vision for like what I want to do. I'm like, these guys did it. Like, why can't I? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. The right attitude to have. And, one of the last things I want to touch on here is you just got finished with this pretty powerful project, the Elijah McClain tribute. Mm-hmm. How did you get into doing that, and what all did that involve?
Yeah. So that's actually, again, it shows how one really meaningful connection can sort of lead to another. That I've been working on a docuseries with Isaiah Chavis. So just like vlog style stuff, and the cultural events board who put on the event, that's actually how they came across my work. They just came across a vlog and then came across some of my commercial and more high budget type stuff that I've worked on. And they reached out with the idea of producing this for CU students, made by CU students, which was definitely a story I could get behind and support. And they had been in contact with the McClain family. And one of the requests was for it to really be focused on Elijah, on Elijah's life, the light he lived his life by. Because from the minute I heard Elijah's story over the summer, just heartbroken is the only word that can really describe it, to know that a human could treat another human with, it's just a tough story to hear. And we wanted to Elijah lived his life with such positivity, with such light. We wanted that to be the focus. We've all know the tragedy that occurred, but we wanted to really make a tribute to his life. From the very beginning of pre-production, we wanted everything in the same way that he lived his life in such a positive sense. We wanted all of the art direction to be warm, vibrant colors, really reflect that positive message and that lifestyle that he conducted. And so we settled on Mackey Auditorium. That was the place that first clicked to my mind. I was like, this is where I want to do it. Cultural Events Board was working with Tanya and Jamil over there, and they were able to secure Mackey. And then we shot about 2 weeks ago now. And we were lucky enough to get the Vala String Quartet to come in and perform, which is the current graduate quartet in residence here at the CU School of Music, and beautiful performers. I don't even want to try to describe how incredible their performance was. You'll have to check it out when it drops. The final project is going to end up dropping in January. But we had the Vala String Quartet perform, and then we had spoken word elements come in from many CU students and just give their different perspective, and just spoken word poetry, tributes to Elijah. And yeah, really beautiful, passionate performances by everyone. And yeah, really excited. I definitely can say hands down, this is the most responsibility and I've ever had in a project. Just I wanted to really make something special for the McClain family above anything else.
Yeah, man, that sounds incredible. I'm really excited to see that. And then, last couple questions, kind of looking forward. What's next on the horizon for you? Hopefully we can get this, vaccine out and
exactly
the virus and kind of get moving here. But, what's next for you?
Yeah. So I've definitely, whenever people ask that question, I always like take a second and pause, because a year ago, I never would have imagined that I'd be out shooting CU Athletics. That was something totally not on my horizon. So right now, something that I've wanted to do for years, one of the initial things that also got me into video was I loved Casey Neistat's vlogs. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but I really am passionate about photo and video and just the storytelling that it can bring, and always loved nerding out about camera gear with other people and just the process behind it. So one thing that I would love to bring, I've been working on some YouTube content that has been a while in the works, and I do have a lot on my plate already, but starting to thin out some of those opportunities to make time to start making, I don't want to be as focused on making content for others as much as I love it. I want to start building some stuff around myself and getting to have some interaction with other creatives. It would be pretty cool.
Last question. I'm going to let you go. What's the end game for Carson Becker? You know, what's the career goal? Obviously, you know, that's a tough question. I like to ask everybody on here though, just to see what you have in mind for that.
Yeah. So I think above all, I just want to constantly be pushing myself as a creative, as a photographer, as a videographer, and most of all as a person. And that's really, I've said a lot of things. I've said that I'd love to have a full end-to-end production company after school. I've said, but I think that's what it really comes down to. I want to push myself to always be doing things a little different. Something that scares me most is complacency and just doing the same thing over and over again. So yeah, I'd say the future for myself is just better than I am today. And yeah, that's all I really can say on that.
Well, listen, man, you were terrific. I really do appreciate the time, and I wish you luck on all these future endeavors.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam, for having me on. This is really cool and very cool that you're out here pushing again, doing something different and out here creating. Really respect it. Super cool stuff.